And a very good morning to you. Welcome in. There's a strike ahead, so there is. We'll be going to that shortly. If you're a sheep farmer, stay tuned. We have some details coming in. Following Brexit, you could be able to claim some compensation. 250,000 better off if you bought a ticket for the lottery in Salt Hill last week. And the Australian recruiters are coming to town. They're looking for nurses today. Galway rents rise, by the way, by nearly 12%. And Athenry is very hard to navigate if you're disabled and you're in a wheelchair. That and more between now and 12 midday. You can call us 086 38 33 55 3 WhatsApp, or indeed message us with thanks to Rationale Windows and Doors. A very good morning to you, with you right through until 12. So if you want to get in contact with us, you can do so by telephone line as well, 091 770 077, but that number 086 38 33 55 3 if you do want to get in contact with us. We would love you to do so. By the way, I know there was a tragedy in Loughrea last Friday morning, just as we were going off air, just on the Dublin Road outside Loughrea, a place called Moyveen. We had hoped to try and do something on it today. The information on it is fairly sparse. We believe the unfortunate victim in this situation is from County Clare, but there's very little coming out of it. But our thoughts are with the family of the person that lost their lives in Loughrea on Friday morning. We did tell you the road was closed and there was an incident and all of that before we went off here on Friday. But our thoughts are with the family of the man in question. It doesn't matter where in the world he's from. He's somebody's husband, brother, cousin, sister, nephew, whatever. Our thoughts are with them today. Let me go to Deputy Sean Kenny, who joins me, because he's calling the government to fast-track the negotiations on pay and conditions for retained firefighters or otherwise face industrial action. And he joins me on the line today. Deputy Kenny, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith.
Now, since I was a child, which is not today or yesterday, the retained firefighters right across the country have never been paid properly, and you're still fighting for them in this regard.
Well, I suppose the most disappointing thing is that last November, the minister in charge of it, the Minister for Local Government, Dara O'Brien, did express the opinion that he was aware of the situation, which is a model that was set up in the 1950s and is not fit for purpose in today's modern work environment. But having said that, the Local Government Management Association, the LGMA, did meet with the firefighters' representatives to discuss negotiations on better conditions and pay. However, they were not allowed to discuss pay and conditions because the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform didn't give them the imprimatur or the permission to actually talk about money. So what has happened is that the discussions that they had, the firefighters' representatives have had, have resulted in they have concluded they were they talked around some peripheral issues, but that was it. They couldn't talk about the core issue. And now the firefighters have a mandate to go on strike, and that mandate will have to be acted upon.
Okay, but Sean, how can you go into talks with your hands tied behind your back?
Well, I think this is a tactic of the Department of Public Expenditure.
But it's a tactic that's not going to work, end of story.
No. What it is, it's to prolong and try and frustrate the people involved. I saw it with the school secretaries where the same thing was going on, where the Department of Education were in talking but couldn't talk because they didn't have the money on the table to actually cut a deal. And the same thing has happened again with CE supervisors, where again discussions were being taken place to try and get to a position where you get an agreement. But it is only when deeper open up the purse strings and say, yes, now you can discuss the real issue. And that's why I'm going back to Minister Dara O'Brien this week to say to him that there's no point in having meetings and having discussions about something, and as you say, it, one hand tied behind the back. And at the same time, it's a frustration for all the firefighters that do so much good work.
And it's a waste of time on the officials' behalf trying to go in and do this negotiation if they're two hands are tied behind their back. But at the end of the day, we see the importance of the firefighters and the retained firefighters, and we see, and I know you quoted in a press release, the tragedy in Creaslock last year and the kitchen sink was thrown out, but each and every day in this very city and county You've got firefighters going out and putting their lives at risk, be it to road crashes, to fires, to industrial fires, to gas incidents, all of those. I can name them all out. But I'm going back to when I was a child. They weren't being paid right then. And I'm going back 40 years on it. And they're still not being paid right.
Absolutely. And the other thing that's happening is there's a crisis at the moment because they cannot get people to join the retained firefighters because of the paying conditions.
And the commitment and, to it.
And nationally, it's at a dangerous levels at the moment. And there's recruitment is very poor due to the poor pay and the work-life balance that exists with the job. But having said that, you're totally right. If tomorrow morning we have an incident in Tuam, Athenry, Gart or Loughrea, we have the fire service in all of these areas. And in fact, we're providing very good infrastructure in that we have the Athenry fire station has been built now. The one was built in Tuam. Hopefully Loughrea will be the next one. But the problem is, that is fine. But when you have empty fire stations, if you don't have the firefighters there to do the job that we all expect them to do, and I think it's only when, God forbid, that something does go wrong and we don't have them there, that we will realise how important this service is nationally.
Can I just localise it, if you don't mind, Sean, just for me on this one? I mean, we've got a brand new chief executive in Galway, County Council indeed, who's a proactive person, as the other, his two previous were as well. I mean, can this be done at a local level between the county council and the retained fire staff, or does this have to be done at a national level? Because,
well, in fairness, what was being done was effectively the Local Government Management Association, of which Liam would be a member of as a chief executive and local authority. That organisation were talking to the retained firefighters, but they were talking with both hands tied behind their back because they didn't have the go-ahead to discuss paying conditions. So it comes back to the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, and what needs to happen is for Dara O'Brien to have a word with Pascal Donohue and say, let's get off the pot, let these guys get on and do the business that we need to get done. And I would be raising this with Dara O'Brien this week because I do believe that it's of such importance. And it's also kind of a slight on the firefighters that they would be brought in, or the representatives were brought in the expectation that something would come out of it. And to say, right, okay, we've nothing more to talk about now after talking about some issues, the peripheral issues, and the main issue on the table can be talked about because the likes of the Chief Executives Association don't have the permission to discuss it because they don't have the funding behind it, and that comes from the Department of Community and Rural Affairs. Public Expenditure, sorry.
Okay. We can just come back here and very briefly on this one. So the firefighters that we have in Galway City and County are controlled by Galway County Council. The contracts that they have, contracts of employment that they have, are the implied contracts, if they don't have a written contract, is with Galway County Council. And are you telling me that the chief executive, the new chief executive, was like a whirlwind, I have to say. I've only met him once, but I'm blown away by his dynamic approach. Are you telling me that he cannot negotiate with the firefighters without going back to DPRS? And he's the chief executive of Galway County Council.
The public expenditure reform hold the purse strings. And unfortunately, unless they say it's go ahead and negotiate a pay deal here, it won't happen. But this is a disservice because the likes of Liam Connelly, who's in there now, and every other chief executive around the country wants to get this resolved. They want to get on with the business. They don't want to have a threat of strike, or they don't want to have anything like that. We had the firefighters up here in the Dáil last November, and at that time, Dara O'Brien did say that he was treating this matter as a very serious matter and that it would be resolved. We're in May, and no discussions have taken place on what is the real issue. And that's why I think it's time that we call them to account again when the Dáil commences this week.
Okay, well, I would suggest public expenditure be very careful, because when Mr. Connelly goes through those two front doors, I don't think public expenditure will know what hit them. Very quickly, can I just ask you about something? You sent me something over the weekend for sheep farmers to receive fair share of Brexit compensation. What do you mean in this regard? And very briefly, now I'm talking about here.
Well, briefly, there is a fund that was available through the Brexit fund, which is to support businesses which were affected by Brexit.
Okay.
There is money in that fund, and some of it should be used to help sheep farmers who were affected at that time by the Brexit discussions and negotiations, but now they're really feeling the pinch. And I think it's important, and the regional group of which I'm a member have put in a marker to government that they should use some of this fund to help the farmers who are sheep farmers, because they are actually losing their shirt at the moment.
But who can loosen the purse strings there and give
the
it to
the Department of Agriculture and the Minister for Agriculture, Charlie McConnell-Logue.
Does he have to go back to DPERS?
No, the money is, the fund is there, it's coming from Europe, so I don't see why it cannot be used. And in fairness, I've spoken to a lot of sheep farmers over the last, since Christmas, who tell me that they're on a hiding to nothing between the price of their inputs, their feedstuff, and also the price they're getting for their at the mart. So I think if we keep this going, we will have less people producing the sheep, we will have less people producing lamb, and we will have we'll be importing lamb when we should be producing it here. And it's because it's not a business that makes money unless it is supported properly.
Okay, so can I charge you then today, Deputy John Kenny, because you're in Dublin today, which is strange for Monday, but you are, can you just go and get a formula to sort this out and take away the red tape and all the applications and all the go with it?
Absolutely.
And all of these governments.
We'll try and break down government by talking to the line minister and to keep the pressure on. And I think the farmers' representative groups are doing that as well. So hopefully we will get something out of this. But that's our job, is to represent the people, represent the farmers, and also represent the retained firefighters. And that's what we'll be doing.
What you need to do, because I know too much about public expenditure and I know too much about saying there's a pot there, take the red tape out of it so that they don't have to sign over their death certificates, birth certificates, marriage certificates, their booster shots that they got, all that red tape, take that out of it, bring it down to basics and just get it to the farming community. Deputy Sean Kenny, thank you for joining us today. You can contact us on WhatsApp and message on 086 38 33 553 today. That's 086 38 33 553. Somebody maybe listening to this program is €250,000 better off if you bought your lottery ticket in Salt Hill.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
Hey, very good morning to you. Welcome in to today's programme. It's 27 minutes past nine now. A national lottery player from County Galway is sure to be celebrating today after scooping Saturday night's Lotto Plus 2, top prize worth a staggering, wait for it, €250,000. That's a life-changing sum. The winning Quick Pick ticket was purchased at Fancy Fair store in Upper Salt Hill in Galway. But let me go to Sarah Ruan, who joins me from National Lottery Headquarters, and we'll be going to the shop straight away as well. Sarah, good morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
Congratulations to whoever won this, Sarah. It's a life-changing amount of money for them.
Oh, it's an incredible amount of money. I can only imagine the celebrating that was going on at the weekend. It's the Lotto Plus 2 top prize that was won on Saturday night, €250,000. So an incredible amount. And what we do know is that the ticket, the winning ticket, it was a Quick Pick, and it was purchased, as you said, at the Fancy Fair store in Salt Hill in Galway. I just popped down to our claims department this morning, and we still have had no word from the winner. So a big push and a big urge now to all your listeners and all your players in Galway to check their tickets to see, you know, not to miss out on that amazing €250,000 prize. The numbers actually for Saturday night's Lotto Plus 2 were 1, 18, 36, 38, 44, and the bonus was 13. Might ring a bell for some of the listeners or players. And if they are the winner, sign the back of the ticket, keep it somewhere safe, and get in contact with us straight away so we can make arrangements for them.
Give me those now, Sarah Ryan. Give me those numbers again slowly. So 1.
Yeah. So we have 1, 18, 19, 36, 38, 44, and the bonus was 13.
So, somebody listening to us this morning, rummaging your bag, your pocket, your jacket pocket, 118, 19, 36, 38, 44 and 13. And
that's correct, yeah.
And they could be, just stay with me if you don't mind, because I want to go to the wonderful Ali Purr, who's the owner of Fancy Fair, and he joins me on the line today. Ali, good morning to you.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Thanks indeed for joining us. It's Keith here, but thank you for joining us today. You haven't heard anything yet, but you sold the ticket, so you did, Ali.
Yeah, we sold the ticket, okay, so it's Saturday, okay. I'm not sure who's that, okay. Hopefully it's someone from Galway, like from outside. It was nicer than that day.
It was a beautiful day on Saturday, so it was. And
yeah, it could be someone from outside even though, yeah.
They could be on holidays in Salt Hill and bought a ticket.
Yeah, it is, yeah. There's so much tourists was last Saturday.
And would you have been very busy on Saturday then, would you?
No, it wasn't that much busy, like normal sale, okay, so.
Yeah. And have you had winners before?
No, we sold some little bit, not that much, okay. Some like 10 grand or 5 grand, something like that.
But not 250,000?
No. That's the first time in Salt Hill or like in a...
Yeah. You didn't do it yourself by mistake and you haven't checked it yet, did you?
Normally, I didn't play that much. Sometimes I played, okay, but I didn't buy him in ticket in that area. I was so busy.
You're too busy for Sarah. I mean, obviously, you'll be bringing the branding down for the photograph. You'll be down. Will you be bringing some champagne down to Ali and the crew down there?
Listen, we'll have to do something for them, won't we? And make a bit of a show. Listen, it's always great for the local stores and local shops. We love to see small local hubs in the community getting big wins like this. And what you'll find, Ali, you'll probably find over the next couple of days, it'll create such a buzz and excitement, in Salt Hill. Yeah. There'll be a flurry of customers coming in and out, checking the tickets. Who is it? You know, everyone will be asking and poking fun and messing. So, look, it's nice to get a bit of good news and positivity, and it can really make a boost for in a locality, so looking forward to that. And yeah, we'll definitely have to do something and throw a bit of a party for them down there.
Ali, just by the way, so that we're very frank on this, Sarah Ruan from the Leisure Lotteries headquarters, she just wants to spend a few nights in Galway, that's all. So she does, so she's so she's using that this thing to come down to butter you up and to make sure that all the photographs are taken. And that I do know that there's quite a few weddings. There's a big wedding in the Ardilon on Saturday. There was a big wedding in the Salt Hill Hotel and the Galway Bay Hotel. So it could have been a tourist, Ali, that was gone for a walk before the wedding or during the wedding, and they could have just bought the quick pick. But they're lucky people.
Yeah, could be.
Could be, yeah.
But I hopefully, someone from my local, okay, like all my old granny, young granddad, they're coming a bit to my shop to buy lotto. Hopefully, it's my heart feelings, okay.
So, did you see your granny or granddad? Well, anybody's granny or granddad or brother?
Yeah, most of our customers are old people,
They're elderly. They're settled Salt Hill people. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lovely story. So it is, and I hope the person comes along and checks the ticket from there. So 118, 19, 36, 38, 44, and 13. So Sarah, what is the process? Do they ring in to the regular line then in the National Lottery headquarters and then they put on...
They do, yeah. So they can ring us, they'll ring our National Lottery claims team. So it's 1800-666-222, or they can email in at claims@lottery.ie. So our claims team will go through the details of the ticket, verify it, and then arrangements will be made for, the winner to come up maybe in a week's time, because we do, it's a substantial amount of money. So we do like to leave it maybe a week or so just for the to let it really sink in and for the winners process it, the win and maybe how they might spend it and get maybe a bit of financial or legal advice in the meantime before they come up to us. And that does really help, kind of slowing down the process a bit, because we do try and encourage people to keep life going as normal as possible. So when they do come up here, they have processed it a little bit. But we do try to, we have a little celebration up here. It's always great vibes, great crack, and they've won $250,000, so there's all the reasons to smile. Hopefully we're really looking forward to hopefully getting that phone call this morning or this week, hopefully. Some winners themselves even like to leave it a couple of days before contact us, just want to keep it to themselves.
That's understandable as well. I know a couple of months ago you had a great crew from Galway City Council, indeed the outdoor crew that I believe they took your managing director or chief executive, and they had great fun, and they went off down to the Bank of Ireland to get their cheque, and he went with them. And
I think they got a party bus up here, actually, if I remember correctly. They were brilliant crack. I was down here with them that day, and the atmosphere in the room was something else, and it was packed out. There was so many of them, and a couple of friends as well they brought along. But that one stands out in my head, definitely. I won't forget that day, the crack that was had in the room, and the camaraderie amongst them all. It was lovely. Like, that's the really special thing about syndicates. You know, it mightn't be a lot when it's split up amongst them. You know, it could be only a couple of thousand each in the end, you know, if there's bigger syndicates that come in. But it's really special kind of sharing it with friends or family or amongst a group of work people. There's always this like buzz. So that one definitely stands out for me. And I know it was massive talk down in Galway at the time as well.
But I mean, they all got 540,000, which is a lot of money at the time.
That was,
I do know there was one member of the syndicate that tried to take your job. Because they wanted to become...
That was it,
Yeah,
it came up here with a laminated press release written out for me, and the headline and everything. I thought, this is great, I'll put the feet up for the day.
See, how
but
do...
No, what,
my
what,
crystal what ball that, tells that me everything. The,
no, that syndicate member was the head, kind of head honcho of the syndicate. So the person that everyone had relied on to go down to the shop each week and get the ticket, and... he went and kind of just detailed the story and the history a little bit, because it was special. It was a lovely little story, group of them, and it had been going on for so many years, and people coming and going. So he just kind of detailed it really beautifully and put it down and came up with a laminated piece of paper, and I thought, this is great now.
I can just see your chief executive getting onto the party bus and going up to Bank of Ireland to get the cheque and pulling up, and the Bank of Ireland was closed.
I can't confirm or deny that now.
No, you don't have to, because I wasn't far away. But the party bus pulled up, Bank of Ireland was closed, they opened up Bank of Ireland, they brought them to the board room. Sure, they took over Bank of Ireland then as well, and then the cheque was done. So it was beautifully done. Is it true, by the way, sir, before I let you go, that there's 52 numbers or numbers at the bottom of the ticket, and maybe up to 40 or 50, and that when they ring the claims department at 1800 666 222, that they read this out, and then the claims department can say and verify that is the ticket?
That's correct, yeah. And, you know, people to be so nervous, they could be mumbling and jumbling those words. So the claims team are well used to that. They'll get people to read them through a couple of times, which, 52 numbers. It can, your eyes can become jumbled. But that it's a great safety thing just to have it at the bottom of the ticket to verify, you know, so they know who it's you before coming up. It's a funny one.
But you can, the people in claims office in National Lottery, you can't do the lottery. So there's never a chance that they'll be the one ringing 1800 666.
No, we just have to live vicariously through all the winners that come in through the doors.
There's a few vicarious people around here today as well, so we won't send them. We'll send them up to you, but they don't have the ticket. No, we didn't get a call on the ticket yet, did we? No, we didn't get a call on the ticket yet. Listen, Sarah, keep up the good work. And indeed, Ali, just be ready, because you will get footfall from people saying, that's a lucky shop from there. So enjoy it. But Ali, thank you so much. And you have a lovely shop in Fancy Fair there, and you do a great job. So thank you indeed for that as well. And Sarah, behave yourself or don't. And when you're coming down to Galway, give us a call. But there you go, National Lottery. And the key message today is that somebody went into Ali on Saturday. They did a quick pick for Lotto Plus 2, and they won themselves a staggering €250,000. And again, it was bought in Fancy Fair in Upper Salt Hill. They're opposite the casino that's there and opposite the church. And it's a real local shop. It's been there for a long number of years, just down from O'Connor's Bar. 1800 666 222 is the number, should you want to get through to them with the claim. Or if you want to call us here and tell us all about it before you do that at all, do so on 091 770 077. Australian recruiters have come to town.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
Hey, very good morning to you. Now, we speak about nurses all the time on this programme and the shortage of nurses and the amount of nurses who are going abroad, but it just shows you the calibre of nurse that we have when a team of six recruiters from two rural and New South Wales health districts are hosting an information session and interviews in Galway on the 19th of May in a new recruitment drive for Irish nurses and midwives from Galway, Mayo and Sligo. They're doing so in association with the ICE Group, and the managing director of that group joins you on the line. Margaret Cox, good morning to you. Thank you for joining us today. Six recruiters, Margaret, that's a serious delegation coming over.
Yeah, I mean, this is flying doctors and nurses, essentially, because it's from rural New South Wales, two areas, one called Southern New South Wales and one called Murrumbidgee New South Wales. And they're a little bit out in the country, but there's six people. And between here in Ireland and the UK, we're meeting over 200 nurses.
And how many are they looking for, or is the world their oyster at this stage? I mean, the packaging question is quite generous. I mean, there's a very good relocation fee there, and there's good terms and conditions. But what areas would they be working in again? You say flying doctors. Will there be?
Well, now they don't always go in the planes and the helicopters, but sometimes they do. But they're working in rural areas, towns like Wagga Wagga, towns like Murrumbidgee. So small, essentially this is different from downtown Sydney or a metropolitan area like Dublin or downtown Sydney. It's in the country, close to beaches or rivers, small communities. So it'd be like in a maybe a Ballinasloe or an Athlone or a Loughrea, perhaps. They'd have primary care centres, and then they have a range of different nursing, mental health nursing, paediatric nursing, intensive care nursing, ED nursing. Across the range in terms of nursing. The benefit of working in rural New South Wales in any of the areas that have vacancies is essentially the cost of living. So that's their unique selling point. They've got wonderful facilities because the government invest in the healthcare systems there, particularly in the rural areas. They've got amazing opportunities for promotions, for education, and then the schooling is brilliant. There's both public and private schools, but really good for nurses that would have families and want them to go to school. Really good, strong investment in schools as well there. And lots of downtime to enjoy. I was talking to one of the nurses, Chris, this morning, and she was saying it's just started snowing in the snowy mountains. So people are getting into their ski gear in Australia to go skiing in the evening, and then maybe the next day they'd be down on the beaches going for a swim, you know. So that's the kind of lifestyle, Keith. It's beautiful, you know, really beautiful.
It is, and you painted a nice picture for them. How long is the duration then of the appointment there?
So look at this, which is interesting, and I suppose gives an idea of how tough it is how, like you said, the world is the oyster for nurses. So we're recruiting for working holiday visa nurses. They can come and stay, work for 12 months in a 2-year period, and come home with $10,000 Australian dollars as a stipend when they're coming home after their 2 months. So that's the working holiday visa people. And then there's temporary visas, and then there's the permanent visas. So permanent visas is you're there for life or as long as you want to stay with them. Temporary could be for up to 4 years. And then the working holiday visa is the opportunity. You could work full-time for the 2 years if you wish, but if you wanted to mix the travelling and the working and see Australia and come home with a bit of money saved as well, you can do that too. Those are the opportunities that are there.
So is the 10,000 that you're referring to then, is that a kind of a yes. part of a severance package that when you're going home you get a bonus of 10,000?
Well, I wouldn't call it a severance package. It's more under the relocation is the words that they're using. I presume there's probably reasons that they use terminology like relocation and so on like that. But yeah, I mean, it's a severance or a relocation package. But it's an incentive. I suppose that's probably a better word for it. But it's an incentive. And this is one of the first times that working holiday visa nurses, you know, so if we're going over with 2 to 3 years experience, perhaps, are getting those types of incentives.
And I mean, forgive the question, but do you feel guilty? Do you feel guilty, you know, trying to recruit for Australia when we have such low numbers here as well?
Yeah. I love that question, Keith, and I'll tell you why. No, I don't feel guilty, because what we've seen is that nurses are going to travel anyway, and they're entitled to travel the same way as carpenters travel and accountants travel. You know, you're not any different just because you're a nurse. So a nurse is entitled to travel. They might go for 1 year or for 2 years. And some of them, you know, fall in love and get married and live forever and ever in Australia. But our statistics show that about 93% of nurses, Irish nurses in particular, who do go to Australia, come back. You know, they come back after two, maybe 3 years, and they come back and they get brilliant jobs in the HSE, or they get brilliant jobs in the public, the private health sector. And because of the experience that you gain in Australia is second to none. It's like a promotional course in terms of your career development, because it's very different in Australia. The way that they work in what they call their multidisciplinary teams, the nurse is the most important part of that team, working together with the doctors, the social workers, the radiologists, and in particular, if you're in the rural side of nursing there, the things that you see are absolutely incredible in terms of your long-term development and career development. And for instance, again in the rural, and this is, you know, one of the good things that has come out of COVID, every hospital or primary care centre in the rural has been fitted out with amazing technology, so that if somebody comes into your hospital and you're not certain what to do, you dial a number, and up on a screen, you've got your virtual consultant who's talking to you from one of the downtown hospitals in Sydney. And you have that virtual nursing assistance and doctor support. And I've seen that in action, because we were in Australia in March and we got to visit some of the locations. And it's like Star Wars. You know, you press a button and up on the screen is somebody to help you with what it is that you have a question on.
Yeah, your consultant 5,000 miles away, So it's very similar to teachers then. I mean, once they finish training, they'll teach in Ireland for a year or two, and then they'll go to Dubai or otherwise. But what you're saying to me today is you don't feel guilty, because they're going to go anyway, because it's part of life and getting on with life. But you're saying think of Australia rather than Dubai, USA or otherwise, and come along to these events on the 19th.
That's right. And not only are we meeting in, we're in Dublin today and tomorrow, and then we're in Cork and Limerick, and we're in Galway on Friday. So, you know, anybody can check out the details on icejobs.ie, or they can email us at nurse@icegroup.ie, just nurse@icegroup.ie, and we'll set them up with an interview, or even if they just want to come for a chat, you know, so they can understand what's involved. We want to give them as much information as possible to help them make a decision.
I was looking at the package in total. I mean, in addition to the high Australian wages, there's a very generous relocation incentive package, which, again, I don't know what the Australian dollar is worth today, but it's a sizable incentive indeed for nurses to travel.
Yeah, it's up to 30. So for the permanent residencies now, so it's up to $32,000 Australian dollars. So I reckon that's about 14 or 15,000 euros. It depends on the rate. Now, it's made up of reimbursement of costs around your visa, relocation expenses, and then a gratuity or an incentive to help you in terms of education and doing additional courses. And this is the kind of thing that people can do. You know, they do their courses and then they'll always have that on their CV. But I mean, 32,000 Australian dollars is a very generous incentive package. And on top of that, particularly in the rural areas again, if families go over, they help to find jobs for the spouses, whether it's the husband or the wife. They try to, in the local community, find them employment. There's accommodation always available for families when they go to the local areas, because it's not downtown Sydney. So it's much easier to get settled in. And then, of course, in all honesty, the cost of living is really, really much lower outside of the metropolitan areas. And what they're seeing as well is a lot of nurses and families from Sydney and Melbourne and Brisbane are moving to the rural areas in terms of nursing themselves. So they're getting an influx of Australian people moving out of the cities because of the same issues that we have here. You know, the cost of
availability,
rent, the cost, availability and all of that. And, you know, Galway, Dublin, Limerick, it's all around the country for families maybe who haven't purchased a house. And indeed, even if you want to purchase a house out in the rural, you're looking at you know, you're looking at a much cheaper house to buy. So your dream of being a homeowner, your kids going to school and then on to college and so on, is certainly very achievable if you're working in those areas.
Just very briefly, somebody's after saying, what do you mean permanent? Will they work with the visa if I want to go as a nurse with 15 years service? Can I get permanent residency in Australia?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. What's really interesting in Australia is for nursing at the moment, they're taking people in their late 40s, early 50s for permanent visas. Normally, it's a much lower age group that they would accept for permanent visas. But in nursing and healthcare, they're giving permanent visas, permanent residencies to people with tons and tons of experience. So yeah, 15 years experience, they'd love you. So give us a call, nurse@icegroup.ie. We'd love to hear from you.
If you want to give them a ring, or if you're a parent that wants to get further information, 0914751100. That's 0914751100 for further details from there. It's an interesting one, Margaret. It really is. But as you said, they go away anywhere for a period of time, and 93% of them come back. So that's 7%.
That's right.
That remain there. So I suppose some patient, I spoke to a parent recently of a nurse, and they were cautious of her going over there for 2 years and will she be safe, and they don't want to fly that far and all that. All, but look at the young person in question is qualified as a nurse and they make their own mind up from there. Margaret, good luck with it. So again, you're going to be in Galway on the 19th. Where will you be, or where can they go on the 19th?
We'll be in Ice Group in Centrepoint. We'll be in the Centrepoint offices of Ice Group on Friday. And as I said, if people have friends around the country, Cork or Limerick, we're going to be there as well during the week. And we're in Dublin for the next, the rest of today and tomorrow and a half day on Wednesday.
Okay. Further details, just go to the ICE Group website and get further details. I'll ring them 0914751100. Margaret Cox, thank you for joining us today. Maybe I should have been a nurse all those years ago. Wouldn't be good now though, would it? I'm joking. I love what I do. By the way, good morning to all involved in the Merle Ball in the Ardilaun last Friday night. 320 people sat down to a wonderful meal, I have to say, and a good night of fun was had by all. Well done to Aidan Tierney, and also indeed to the Galway tenors, to Sean Costello, and the wonderful Frank Nocton. They rocked the house, so they did, and Pyramid afterwards as well. Now, I was gone before Pyramid started. But I was MC for the evening, and it was just a wonderful night of fun, I have to say, and just good fun. But it was a busy, for me it was a busy night, but a lovely night. But well done. But a lot of money raised for charity. There was four charities picked this time around, and a huge amount of money was raised for the four charities. And more about that once all the money is counted and all the bills are paid. But there'll be a lot of money going to those charities, so well done to all involved in that. And to Mayor Clodagh Higgins and to her husband Tom McGee and to her son Harry, you'll see it in all the papers this week. The most photogenic family, I would think. You could see it on the front of Vogue magazine in the future, but well done to them. And congratulations to all the work that went in, all the volunteer committee as well. Can I just tell you, in the next hour, we're looking at rents. Rents in Galway have gone up by nearly 12% in the last year. Now, we're not going to fight about it, but it's 11.8, which is nearly, it's really and truly nearly 12%. We're looking at that, so we are. Also, on the rest of today's programme, we will be going and speaking with Ronan Lyons on that. We'll also be talking to Emma Ward today, and Emma's a lovely young girl who's in a wheelchair. She lives in Athenry, but she's having horrible problems trying to get around Athenry, so she's going to tell us her story. She posted on social media about it in the last week, so we've picked up on it from there, and she's joining us on today's programme. And we're also talking about it's controversial until it's sorted, which is the Galway to Auchtarach Greenway public consultation number 3. Derek Pender, Director of Services, will be joining us on that. So if you want to get questions in relation to that, you should have got the paperwork in the post if you're affected by it. But if you want to get involved in that, we're doing that just about 20 minutes to 11. And Derek will be joining us. And we'll be going through it line by line to do with the Connemara Greenway project and number 3 consultation there. So we'll be dealing with that on today's programme. I'm running a bit tight to time now here. And also, Paul Gillen joins us from Health Promotions Office as well. Because men across the region are encouraged to take practical steps to protect their well-being as Men's Health Week approaches as well. So that and more to come on today's programme. Let's head, though, towards the Galway BFM News Desk for 10 o'clock news. And we're back just after that. Stay tuned, but you can get through to us on 086 38 33 55 3. A very good morning to you on this Monday morning. We're with you till 12 midday.
Galway Tolls, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.